Blog Talk Radio.
What's that? That's good.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leona Brando Show, and she has representatives from A Just Cause to interview today. If you listened last Monday, you heard A Just Cause speak. If you missed that radio interview, we ask you to check Human Rights Demand for last Monday's broadcast. A Just Cause, one of their main clients, one of the main people that they advocate for is IRP6. And they will continue that discussion today. Leona Brando, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'll turn it over to you. Welcome, radio listening audience. Welcome, A Just Cause representatives. We're so glad to have you back with us today.
Thank you very much. This is Sam Thurman.
How are you, Sam Thurman?
Nice to talk to you, Mr. Thurman.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on again, or having us on. I know you had Ethel Lopez on last week. Ethel is traveling today. So you have me today, and Just Cause is happy to be on, and thank you for having us.
Mr. Thurman, I want to thank you and your whole organization. We've learned so much from Ms. Lopez last week when she was on the air, and we were just very impressed with the whole program and the whole organization. It was running so good, it went over, and that's why we wanted to have you or Ms. Lopez come back on the show so you may further, you know, inform us of some of the things that you have done and are continuously doing for the wrongfully convicted.
Sure.
And we also wanted to ask that you give us your website information, your contact information, because I'm sure from last week there are a lot of people that would like to contact A Just Cause and learn more and maybe even perhaps try to, you know, help and contribute in some way or another.
Excellent. Yeah, we would appreciate that. You want me to just kind of give a little bit of background on A Just Cause to start off?
Yes, if you could.
Sure. Well, A Just Cause is an all-volunteer organization. We started back in 2005. It was started as a result of the IRP6 case, as Mary kind of gave a brief highlight at the top of your program. And the IRP6 are six IT executives who started a company called IRP Solutions Corporation, and they developed software for local, state, and federal law enforcement, and the software was called Case Investigative Lifecycle Software. The software would allow all law enforcement agencies at all levels to share information and collaborate at all levels. And after 9/11, the 9/11 Commission identified in their 9/11 Commission report that there were gaps in the way that law enforcement agencies across the board were able to share and collaborate information. And that is what the software that IRP Solutions developed would help do. IRP Solutions was contacted by the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, and in an effort to answer the requests of the federal government, IRP Solutions started beefing up the staff and using staffing companies to do so. The company got in debt. And as a result of this debt, the debt got criminalized. The company was accused of wrongdoing and got accused of not developing software, got accused of everything that is totally untrue. And it resulted in the company actually being raided in 2005. When the company got raided in 2005 and all the subsequent activities that the federal government levied against the executives of IRP Solutions as well as the company, the executives took note that, wow, you know, if this is happening to us, we need to bring attention to it. So the IRP Solutions executives were actually instrumental in starting A Just Cause to draw attention to their situation. But as the story unfolded and after doing a lot more research, they realized that it was not only indicative of their situation. It was not their situation was not an anomaly, but that it was happening to other folks. And so that's when a just cause began to expand. And so now that's where you have a just cause as it stands today. As Mary stated, our main case that we are working on is the IRP 6 case. However, we do have an intake process where we do take information related to other folks who feel that they have been wrongly convicted. And so a just cause is set up to fight wrongful convictions, wrongful incarceration, where folks may think that judicial misconduct occurred in their case. We'd love to hear from them. Our website is www.a-justcause.com. Again, www.a-justcause.com. And Mary and Leona, as you know, we have a radio broadcast that we air live twice per week on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. There is a link on our website to our radio website, but if folks want to go straight to the radio website, they can do that as well, and they will see links to previous shows and a lot of helpful information. We've had a lot of very interesting people on our program. And like I said, you guys were on last week, and we really appreciate that. You'll even see a posting out there with your pictures and information about you being on our program as well. Oh, and by the way, our radio website is ajcradio.com. Again, that's ajcradio.com.
Very good, Mr. Sherman. I was going to also ask you, you do work with wrongfully convicted of all age groups, right?
That is correct. And when you say all age groups, you're saying from the teens all up to seniors?
Adults, yes.
Yes.
We recently,
and you know, one of the things that we have recognized as we've been doing this, and it's unfortunate, but a lot of the, and you may note, you may have already noted this in your research, and I know Mary does a lot of research, that unfortunately a lot of the people that are being released or being exonerated, so to speak, and a lot of them have been in prison for, you know, 15, 20, 25 years. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of them went in when they were 15 or 16. And so that is that's a tragedy to have your entire youth snatched away from you, and for so many years to have no one listen to your story and consider the fact that you are innocent. And so that's one of the things that we've realized as we've been fighting this fight for the last several years, is that early on we were naive to the system, and even naive to the fact of how everything works. And it opened our eyes to the fact that just because the system says that a person is guilty and just because a person is incarcerated does not necessarily mean that that is true. And as evidenced by the countless people that are coming out after, especially after the escalation and the advent of the DNA testing, that's available to people, and even right now, Senator Leahy has a bill before that they're trying to get united the Democrats as well as the Republicans, trying to get everyone on board for the Justice for All Act. And the Justice for All Act has components in it that would allow for monies that would be available to do DNA testing, and to also provide funds for cold cases that are out there. And this is not only beneficial for the person who is incarcerated, who is claiming innocence, but also for the victims. I mean, there are programs out there for victims who their case is still sitting there as well, and they don't have anyone identified, and it's mainly because there's not enough money even to do testing on their evidence. And so, you know, again, that's the Justice for All Act, and you know, that's something that we talk about on our program from time to time as well, to try and push to get folks to support that they can go to our website again on that one. And, again, a-justcause.com, a-justcause.com. And we have a section on our homepage called Legislative Initiatives. And they can click on the link for that and send letters to all your congressmen and representatives to tell them to support that act, because it will help folks who are both wrongly incarcerated as well as victims who have been the victim of a crime and their case is just sitting there.
That is really true, too, with the DNA testing, now that that's come out. I mean, it's still a problem, you know, with the use of it, but it has brought awareness of so many people that have been wrongly convicted and accused and sentenced for years before they've been released. There is a gentleman, his name is Kevin Wombly, and I was on his show last night, I believe it was the night before, but his organization is Back Into Society, and everyone on the show was actually talking about that, you know, getting things together and passing bills and things like that with legislature. And I would like to have you connected with them, or them connected with you at some point in time, you know, after the show or sometime next week. But I really would like to get it, because I think it's very good to network in those areas. But what I also wanted to mention is, in speaking about, you mentioned the prisoners going in when they were teenagers, coming out late years later on wrongful convictions. And we just had a young woman contact us about her 16-year-old son who was wrongfully convicted. And that child was, the person that was supposed to have died did not die on the night of the offense. It was weeks later. And the young man was told by his two peers that because he was only 16, that he would not they would not do anything to him. So they talked him into taking the rap. And these are the kind of situations that are very, very sad, because this young man, being 16 years old when this thing happened, he's 17 now, he's still in holding, but he got 25 years to life. And that was very sad to hear of that. And the mother is just devastated, because it's the first time anything like this has ever happened in the family. But these are some of the issues that need to be addressed with not only the adults, but the adolescents that are first-time offenders that are, you know, in those situations. But with this DNA testing, with these wrongful convictions, it's really a shame. I mentioned last week when Ms. Lopez was on with us about a man that served 24 years in prison. He was arrested, charged, and sentenced to 30-some-odd years, and he was on his way to, or he was at Disneyland or Disney World at the time he got sentenced. And it was only this year that they found out through, I believe it was DNA testing, that the man was innocent. All
yes.
Those years. And his mother is in her 70s now. And for 20 or 30-some-odd years, what that mother must have gone through, and fortunately she was still alive when he came out. But there's so many people that are wrongfully convicted and come out to nothing. Their families are dead, you know, the deceased, and they have no support. They have no one out there.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on that. And I believe that was in New York, was it not?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and there were, gosh, we've seen a lot of cases in New York that where there were wrongful convictions and coerced confessions and that type of thing. And one of the things too, they're discovering that some of the cases in New York, particularly in Brooklyn, are tied to the same detective or tied to the same prosecutor. And the thing that we are going to push for is accountability in those situations. You know, there's a lot of talk about legislation and reform within the Department of Justice, you know, at least at the federal level. And then it's required at the state level is absolutely needed as well, whereby judges, prosecutors, even rogue defense attorneys who do not do due diligence as far as defending their clients, and then also detectives and police officers who go, you know, go astray, so to speak, they should be held accountable. They should not just get a slap on the wrist. Now, I need to qualify that by saying that, and we use a term on our show, that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because we know that there are a lot of judges, a lot of litigators, a lot of people in law enforcement that we have relations with. And not all are bad. I mean, there are some who go that route, and those are the ones that we're talking about. But the ones who are doing their job and doing it with all due diligence, we absolutely tip our hat to them because they are doing what they should do, as evidenced by, I mean, we have a retired appellate federal judge, Judge H. Lee Sarakin, and for the listeners who may not be familiar with that name per se, I'm sure they're familiar with the name of Reuben Hurricane Carter, who was the professional boxer who was accused of murder, and his case, I believe it was after 24 years, his case was finally exonerated, but it was as a result of Judge H. Lee Sarakin reversing it and looking at all the details. Well, you know, when I talk about people that are good, that are in the system, and we've had attorneys on our show and experts in the field who supported a lot of things that we're doing, but this particular judge, he's retired now, but to have a retired federal district judge who eventually became a retired became a appellate judge, now retired, that's a presidential, you know, appointed position. And to have him look at the case of the IRP-6 and say that there is absolutely no reason why these men should still be in prison after 2 years, that the appellate court should not be dragging this out, that these men have a valid claim to a Fifth Amendment violation. So, you know, when you have something like that, you have to say that, yeah, there are some people that are in the system that are absolutely, you know, top-notch. And I'm not just saying that because the judge took a look at the IRP-6 case. I'm just saying if he took a look at any case, I would say that because of the fact we didn't know the judge prior to him even looking at this case. And he posted it, a three-series article out on Huffington Post. And so, you know, folks need to go out there and look at that. They can look, you know, again, go to our website at justcause.com, or they can go to Huffington Post and do a search on Judge Sarakin, that's S-A-R-O-K-I-N, and you'll see some awesome assessments of this case. So, but back to what you were saying as far as the youth and people being incarcerated and seemingly having nowhere to go, I think, and I believe you mentioned this on our program the other night, Leona, is that we as organizations, we as advocacy groups, if we were to bond together as a united front, there's strength in numbers, and we can definitely execute some change and facilitate change in our nation with regard to the wrongful convictions, wrongful incarcerations today.
That's it. And I think networking is good. You know, the thing that bothers me is that we are not trying to work against the government, and we are not trying to work against the penal system. We're trying to work with them, and this is a sad thing. As you say, there's a lot of good law enforcement and good prison officials, but the majority, the ones that are so corrupt themselves, they make the others look bad.
Absolutely.
Now, I sent an email out earlier today of a young boy. He was in his graduation uniform and everything. A young man that was shot, an innocent young kid that was shot by the police because they thought he was a suspect they were looking for. He was shot in the back, you know, and what bothered me the most, and I was telling Mary about this, we were talking about it, this young man is still in, they have him in prison, and he was shot where he still has one of the bullets lodged in him, and the family is the article, I can't imagine things like this happening to young, innocent kids because they don't want to admit their guilt. They're going to try to turn this thing around so that this young man that's in jail now is going to be the bad guy. He will probably get a lot of support, but these are the kind of things that are happening. And I am so discouraged with our government, because rather than the U.S. Department of Justice especially, rather than look into these things, rather than to, and they see all these emails going around, because I send everything to the U.S. Department of Justice when it involves any kind of corruption on the part of any law enforcement or guard, a prison official. And I get a lot of these things with the Civil Rights Department, with the U.S. Department of Justice, that they either don't have the funding or they don't have the time, or it's not a class, it's not a group, it's an individual. Whether it's an individual or a group, they need to make time, because one innocent life wasted is no different than the prisoners that we have incarcerated that took one life. So even if it's U.S. Department of Justice or any other form of government, if it's one life that goes because of that's lost because of their negligence or because of their incompetence or whatever, then they're just as criminal-like as the people that are incarcerated. And these are the things that I get very upset with.
I agree with you, Leona. I mean, we get the same types of correspondence back. And the thing that amazed me early on was, and I have to stay on that accountability thing, is that very often, and you've probably seen this, you will send a letter to someone at the Department of Justice, whether it be the Civil Rights Division or the Criminal Division or what have you, and you'll get a letter back, and it's not signed by anyone. It's as if, you know, they do not want to identify the fact that I am the person that you need to contact if you need any help. Sometimes I have sarcastically stated that, man, to get a job in Washington, D.C. must be the best gig in the world, because you don't have to answer anyone. You go and collect a check, you send out letters, and no one has to reach you because you're not giving your name. That is, talk about fraud. That's bogus.
You're not doing
anything. I mean, you're there to assist people. Taxpayers are paying for you to assist in these situations. And like you said, whether it is an individual or a group, something is wrong. And you look back during the civil rights days, and it's as if, you know, the folks who lost their lives and lost blood and everything else during the 60s and the 50s, it makes you wonder if it was all for naught, because today we've aspired to the highest positions in the land, and it's as if we're stalled. I mean, no one is doing anything, and people are in positions where they can execute change, and they're doing nothing.
That's the sad thing about it. And I mentioned this on the radio show last night. He's a commissioner of the police department in New Hampshire that made a racist remark about President Obama.
Yes, I saw that.
What I was talking about yesterday, and this is what gets me too, is this is a commissioner of the police department. Now, if nothing is done with these commissioners, with these law enforcement leaders, if nothing is done when they make racist remarks or they have their biased feelings towards a black person or any person of color, then what happens when they're alone with an individual that they might pick up on the street? What happens with that person? I mean, are they going to brutally beat him? Are they going to kill him? And no one's going to know anything because they are law enforcement officers? But I believe that any person that's overseeing any kind of prisoners or any kind of, even in the communities, law enforcement officers, if they have any kind of racist attitudes or beliefs or behaviors, they should not even be in that field. They should not be in that area. And they may not be able to point them out when they first interview them. They may not be able to observe them. They may not even be able to know whether they are racist. But when a racist attitude happens or a comment is made, they need to put those people out. And when I saw that, when I heard about that incident with this person in New Hampshire, I'm saying President Obama is well protected, you know, out there. But what about these individuals, these young and old men and women? you know, that are walking the streets or that are by themselves. I was also mentioning when we try to locate a prisoner, one of our clients or any client or any prisoner on the inmate locators across the country, there are some that are not even in the system. They're in prison, but they're not in the system. They're locked away, most of them, in some kind of solitary confinement where no one has any knowledge of their existence. And these are things that, I mean, it's just so sad. It's sad.
Wow.
Because there's no accountability. There's no, I don't know.
Yeah, and that type of thing is where, you know, that's where it starts to get strange from the standpoint of, like you said, accountability. How can a person's rights be protected if within the system, for all practical purposes, they don't exist?
That's it. You must see a lot of that with A Just Cause. You must see a lot of people that have been wrongfully convicted, that have been abused, that have been tortured, that have been kept in solitary confinement and coming out years later, that they must be very psychologically damaged, you know, if they even survive it.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting, and I like to reflect back on a guest that we had on last week, and I don't know if you and Mary stayed on to hear Seth, but Seth Penover, he is in Florida, and he spent, I believe, 18 years in prison, and some of that was on death row. And he, along with a friend of his, and his friend is a paralegal, if I recall correctly, her name was Renee. And Renee, that's what she does as a profession, but she did her regular job during the day, and then at 5 o'clock she got up and she started doing all this research for Seth's case. And one of the points that Seth made, he said, you know, that a lot of times people have to take an interest in their own case, obviously, and when folks, you know, reach out to organizations like A Just Cause or any other organization, you know, they are obviously taking an interest in their own case. And one of the things that stood out to us with Seth was when he said that rather than taking money and just buying it, you know, spending on something frivolous in the commissary or sitting around and playing checkers or chess or cards all day, he invested in law books and started studying up on the law, and along with Renee's help, you know, put together a case and literally put the case together for his attorney. But when Renee was sharing with us how in the state of Florida there are caps on the budget, so if you have a court-appointed attorney and you need to have some sort of testing done, then there's a cap on how much you can spend on that. And so the trickle-down effect of that is the forensics firms and folks who would actually be doing that type of testing, if they're only going to be offered so much money to do certain types of tests, then they may or may not take it. And so here you have a person sitting in prison, and they're innocent, but then they're held captive because of the fact that there's not a budget. And you reflected on that a moment ago with the DOJ. Because there's not a budget for someone to do what needs to be done to prove this person's innocence. And so, but as far as folks contacting A Just Cause, we're getting letters all the time. And we have an intake team that actually takes each letter, and they try and reply to the person within the first 2 or 3 days to at least acknowledge the fact that we did receive their letter. And then what we will do from that point on is send out an inquiry for additional information. So we have to, you know, ask them, you know, for case numbers and more details about their case. And once we get that back, then we start to see, you know, how we might be able to help. And sometimes our help, in most cases, our help is going to boil down to providing them with references and resources and referring them on, like you said, a network, and identifying who might be best suited to help their particular case. But one of the things that we are dead set on within A Just Cause is that we will absolutely at least correspond and reach back out to people who reach out to us. And what took us there is because of the years, literally years, of reaching out to organizations, both government as well as non-government, seeking assistance for the IRP6, and either not getting a response at all, or the response was, well, that doesn't fit the profile of what we do, or, you know, we just don't have a time to take a look at this, or what have you. And it would tend to be cold and callous. And the thing is, you know, they're supposed to be an organization that helps people. And but I think they sometimes people get to that point where after so many years of doing it, then it becomes just a, you know, just a run-of-the-mill type thing. And we have made a commitment within a Just Cause that we will never do that to someone. Whether we, I mean, like I said, if we can help a person or if we can't help them, sometimes all people need is just for someone that they can share their story with, and they know that that person they're sharing the story with is going to at least try and push it to someone else who can help. And so we try and at least give give a person that sounding board to where they can reach out to us, and then we can – I mean, I've spent, gosh, many, many hours on the phone with people. There is one of the gentlemen who just got the presidential commutation. His sentence got commuted by President Obama. He, ironically, was in the same facility as the IRP-6. When he got out of Florence, Colorado, out of the federal prison there, and he had established a relationship with Gary Walker, one of the IRP-6. When he got out of Florence, he contacted a Just Cause. His name is Billy Wheelock, and me and Billy, we got together, and Billy, he asked that, you know, he wanted support from me as well as Cliff Stewart, to assist him as far as, you know, hey, I just want to talk with you guys and be sure that I'm doing things right, because obviously, you know, everyone in the media, they want the, Billy's attention, and they want to write a story on him. They want to do this and that. And so, you know, me and Billy, we talk all the time. And so Billy is out. And then just the fact, and we had Billy on our show as well. And just the fact
could
that.
Can I interrupt you for just a second? I'm sorry,
sure.
I want to interrupt you for just a second and let you know that we're down to our last 10 minutes, and you have callers on the phone who may have questions or comments. I wanted you to know
sure.
that.
Sure. And just the thing with Billy, just wanted to just wrap that up and just say, you know, that you know, that's a good example of someone who was incarcerated for many years, and then he's gotten out, and now he wants to actually be a service to people. He's pushing the IRP6 story. He's wanting to get on board with a Just Cause to help with other people's cases. Who best can help in those kind of situations than someone who has been incarcerated and now is out? And so, and before we move to the callers, I'd like to at least ask the listeners to, you know, to pray for the IRP6, Gary Walker, David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Kendrick Barnes.
Well, thank you very much. We have a caller on 4924. Good afternoon, 4924. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Would you like to give your first name or your whole name if you like, and ask
well,
the question or leave a comment?
My name is Kevin Womble, and I am the host of Back Into Society. Through Leona, I was given the number to call in to listen to the show. I'm a first-time listener, you know, and I'm just trying to get my bearings. I've been having problems with my phone, which is why it took me so long to get on. But right now, I'm just listening. I'm very interested in what I'm hearing. And if it's okay, I'd like to listen a little longer before I even consider making comments.
Well, we want to welcome you to Human Rights Demand. And, Leona, this is your friend Kevin Womble. I think that Leona was on your radio show yesterday. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, your organization is called, what is it?
Back Into Society.
Back Into Society. So your main focus is reentry?
Well, we have a broad range of focus. We basically try to keep everybody abreast of what's going on with the wrongly convicted. We also have advocates that are attempting to abolish the death penalty. We get into reentry programs. We also have panelists who are preparing a documentary for the plight of the ex-offender, which is produced by Noah Films out of Decatur, Georgia, and it's called By My Stripes. And so we have a broad range. We're trying to get into everything as possible. I just wanted to say, in regards to the interview with Leona yesterday, it was amazing. I've been doing this since 2008, and there were so many callers just on the phone lines that I couldn't even keep up with everybody. You know, so there were a lot of people that were interested in what she's doing and wanted to get involved and looking forward to networking.
Wonderful. And we found that it's very useful for advocates to come together, Mr. Womble, and also our guest today from Ajust Cause and NBO, the New Vision Organization, Leona Brando. And I am the Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. When the directors of organizations come together as we are and as Blog Talk Radio makes possible and other social media, then the next step is to consider what we can do with our collective energy. And I think that, I have come to the conclusion that American courts, some of them are exceptional, but for the most part, they are racist and they are corrupt. For the most part, racism
Hello?
And corruption reign. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes. I hear someone else in the background saying hello.
I do too. But for the most part, they're corrupt and racist. And so I want to invite you to listen tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time, that's 1 p.m. Eastern, when Dr. Ansari, that's Dr. Mustafa Ansari, will speak to us about taking cases before international court, because that is what will be useful, I feel. And, of course, international court would perhaps be less prone to racism and corruption, at least of the sort that people meet in American courts. I'm turning it back over to Leona now. Leona? Leona? Okay. I'll turn it back over to Ajust Cause, representative from Ajust Cause.
Okay,
yes,
thank you, Mayor.
We have 5 minutes. 5 minutes to wrap up. And tell us again anything you need us to know about how to contact you. I've been enjoying going over your page at Facebook. And I'm inviting you also, sir, to listen tomorrow at 3 p.m. That's when we have Dr. Mustafa Ansari on the air. And I'm sorry, that's 1 p.m. Eastern time. And he is going to lead us into classes, coursework for human rights defenders and human rights monitors. Lawyers are invited, but people do not have to be lawyers to take the courses. And we will prepare cases to go before international court. And this is necessary because we found, those of us who are doing this, a good many have found American courts to be racist, to be corrupt. And so, therefore, we want to take cases out of America to a governing body, because America has signed certain treaties and certain conventions with the UN that are not being upheld in our justice system. So tell me what you think about that, and go ahead and tell us anything else you need us to know.
Thanks, Mary. I think that's awesome, and that, you know, because of the fact that, and we often talk about the fact that the United States is quick to accuse other countries of human rights violations and so forth when we have tragic human rights violations right here on our own soil. And so, you know, sometimes we need to take a look at how we can draw attention to things that are going on right here in our own country, especially within the prison systems, and how inhumane the prisons prisoners are treated, being fed outdated food, being fed unhealthy food, having unhealthy living conditions. Many prisoners end up leaving their incarcerated the state or the facilities where they were incarcerated with physical injuries and physical ailments, back, neck, and so forth, because of the fact that, you know, imagine sleeping on a concrete slab or steel slab with a 2-inch something that they call a mattress. And so we've seen that time and time again. But at any rate, on subjects like that and other issues related to matters of judicial injustice and wrongful convictions and incarceration, we would encourage people to go to a-justcause.com, a-justcause.com. Want to encourage folks to listen in to our radio show tomorrow evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Click. You can go to our website and go to our radio website, actually, at ajcradio.com, ajcradio.com. And tomorrow night's program, we will have be reviewing the opinions written by retired federal judge H. Lee Sarakin as it pertains to the IRP 6 case. And we encourage folks to get involved. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about getting involved and networking. And, Kevin, good to meet you via the airwaves. And we will try and reach out to us so we can reach out to you and maybe get you on our program, and we can talk about some things that you're doing in your organization back into society. We would look forward to doing that. You can reach us at contact@ajustcause.com. contact@a-justcause.com. And Mary and Leona, thank you for having me on the program. Thanks for the effort and the